Hi, everyone, and welcome to Dracama Radio. My name is Charlotte, and I'm your co-host today. I'm just overjoyed to have the opportunity to speak with Daishi this afternoon. Daishi, thank you so much for taking time away from your crazy busy schedule. If I may ask, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here with you again. I look forward to our conversation, and let's jump into it.
So today's topic is emotions as powerful co-creators. So in terms of emotion, maybe we just start with the definition of that and let it blossom.
So emotion is the hardest thing to define because we don't really know where emotion is. Emotion is just sort of some energy that comes up and we end up labeling that energy, you know, good or bad, and then all the derivatives. You know, it's either bad angry or bad depressed or bad anxious or so on, or it's good love or it's good happy or it's good bliss and so on. So it's just sort of an energetic reaction that happens connected to our thought stream that we misunderstand quite a bit. But in that way, emotion has really more to do with the fulfillment of desire than it does with just arbitrariness. Like it doesn't just come up. Sometimes you say, oh, I'm just joyful. I don't know why. But that's really never the case underneath the surface. What really happens is we receive an emotion. And that emotion is based on some fulfillment that we've been looking for or searching for, whether consciously or unconsciously, through some desire.
So what I don't understand is in terms of the qualifier, you were saying we're experiencing a good emotion, we're experiencing a bad emotion. Is there a way that you just experience something neutrally? And or is something, if it's related to desire, does it always have a flavor or a quality, if that makes any sense?
It's a great question. So there are places where we have equanimity, or we think we do. We kind of say, well, I'm kind of not feeling anything right now. Like, so there's no emotional charge going at all. I don't feel good. I don't feel bad. I guess I'm just bland. That usually teeters on apathy. There's usually something underneath that that's actually moving, because it's never that the energy is just still. It's just moving to some degree that I really can't sense it, or I don't have the conscious wherewithal to understand it. So we usually say, well, I'm kind of in the middle. I don't really feel anything. But even that's called apathy, and it's probably, if we were to look deeper, somewhere in there. The resultant feeling from the desire is usually our reward, and this is where the path comes together. This is really the whole point of the path, is to figure out, how am I desiring, or by what method am I desiring, and what does that feel like, and how am I receiving the fulfillment of that desire? And usually that's through these two elements called fire and water. So the fire becomes the process of wanting, and the water becomes the process of getting. And in that regard, we really have to be investigative when we look at that on the path, because if those two unite together, we'd come into the essential nature. We'd become in the stream again, because that's the true essential actual state that we live in, which is fulfillment and desire happening immediately and not through some deep, drawn-out cause and effect that we've been duped into thinking has to happen.
So say, for example, like a real life situation. When I was in my medical practice, I had patients who had chronic X, Y, or Z. So chronic depression, chronic anxiety, prolonged grief, something beyond 6 or 12 months. And they felt, and it seemed like the emotion was static. There wasn't a change. Was that due to something on the fulfillment end of their wanting of something, whether it be joy or comfort or solace or, you know, whatever it may be? Is it just that they weren't getting it fulfilled, or was it just due to the desiring itself?
Great question, because you come from an area that deals with this in a very intimate way. So in the medical side, we have two issues. One we should speak about first. One's the body. If the body has a chronic or acute problem, then it has to be addressed. We're not talking about the earthy physical body in this regard. We're talking about the emotions and the thoughts. In that case, if it's not really like my knee is broken or my ACL is torn, or I've got, you know, ligament damage, or my heart's bad, or if it's not a physiological thing and it's actually a mental, emotional, receptive kind of desiring thing, at that point, what happens is the condition is typically that there's a desire that's happening, or a lack that I'm feeling, and I have no idea how to fill it. I've tried different things. I've eaten, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, money, power, influence. I've tried what I believe to be is everything, and nothing's filling it. And now I'm just sitting in this utter despair, and the despair continues on and on with this desiring that continues to come up that I can't fulfill. And I've sort of thrown my hands in the air and said, just drug me up, basically.
It makes complete sense. I mean, I have seen patients who've come in with 20 years of the same psychological diagnosis, and then it bleeds over into other areas of their life. And, you know, despite counseling, despite medication, despite a variety of things, there are people who are just so stuck because, like you said, no matter what they do, nothing seems to be making a difference. So obviously that is a different realm than the stream condition. But how do you go from something that's kind of more relatable to the average individual to the stream condition where you have the union of that fire and water? What's the bridge there?
You just asked a great question again. What's the path? How do I get from this condition of seeming emptiness and then fulfillment to, you know, that happening instantaneously where fire and water have come together? And again, we can see the symbolism of this in the Indian tradition, like the Star of David, kind of upper and lower triangles coming together. It's throughout all cultures, this particular six-pointed star. And the reason why it's been branded throughout temples and throughout ancient texts and talked about so much and all over the world is because that essentially is this beginning place of the spiritual path. It's when we bring these two things and realize that we do not have something called a longing and a fulfillment. When those two things kind of merge together and we realize that that actually isn't happening, then we enter the stream condition. It's just a realization of the truth. It's a realization that the way we've been processing prior to that point has been delusional, and it's created suffering because of it. I'll make the point like this. When someone told me, I had a conversation with somebody just the other day, and I said to them, do you know what fulfillment feels like? Well, sure. You know, what kind of fulfillment do you get? Well, like from basketball. I play basketball a lot. I get a lot of fulfillment from basketball. Okay, how does that feel? So they have to imagine playing basketball, and then they describe to me the feeling they get from it. And so they, you know, describe, well, you know, it kind of feels good. I feel happy, proud of myself, this and that. Okay. Then I ask them, show me the desire of wanting that. And then there's this huge cutoff. They don't really understand at that point how to produce the desire. They can only produce the fulfillment of the desire. And they're not really even intimately connected with what the desire feels like, because the moment they say, well, I guess it's a lacking to play ball. And I say, well, you've already established the fulfillment. Therefore, the fulfillment established the desire. The desire didn't come up on its own. So then this brings up the point of, well, does fulfillment have to be there before I get a desire? So in other words, do I have to see something I want or need and then have a desire for it? Or can a desire come up just on its own? And this goes into a deeper part of the path. And we don't need to cover it here because it's in the teachings and curriculum specifically. But my main point to get across here is we don't really know. And this is a big point, because if you do not have a conscious relationship with how desire is coming up and how fulfillment is taking care of that desire, then a process is happening within you governed by another force or another something or someone. So what you're really saying is, I'm really just a worker bee. Something is telling me to go get them something. I'm going to get them that something. And then once I receive that fulfillment, it goes away. So in this scenario, you're describing complete slavery. And this is what we have to understand in terms of the spiritual path, is that all humanity is in this condition because they don't have any conscious awareness of their inner process at all. And because of that, they're like, well, I just desire things. And so I run out and get them. And when you get them, then it's the same question I asked the basketball player. When you played basketball, was the desire satisfied? And he said, well, for the day. So I said, so you have to go back out and play again? Yes. Okay, how many games will it take before you're done, you're satisfied, or you're fulfilled? Well, I don't know. So basically, something or somewhere is telling you, you need to go play ball to get fulfilled, but that's even a lie. You're not really getting fulfilled. It's stealing that fulfillment, and then you've got to go run out and do it again. So when I describe this, I'm describing a terrible situation that every human finds themselves in, as a slave governed by some other force that they have no idea where it is or who it is, and yet they continue to do it day in, day out. And no wonder we have war and hate and anger and suffering and confusion and delusion throughout the world, right?
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I just happened to look up the word origin of the word emotion, and it actually derives from a 12th century French word meaning to stir up or excite. And then there's the relationship in the spiritual and religious text relating to passion and suffering. And so many times, I mean, just you explaining you needing to go out and do the same thing over and over and over again, and you have this unfillable cup, there's just so much suffering, and it's devastating to see that, you know, we don't have control. And why not? And what is it that we can do to break that cycle and start to say, okay, maybe I don't have to have this happen? So in a situation like that, where's the place to start?
Again, another fantastic question. Now, how do I fix it? So if the problem is that I'm running around for another landlord or another force, and that force is dictating me toward all kinds of lack that I go fulfill, and then even when I fulfill it, it steals my fulfillment, and I've got to go do it again. In other words, nothing's ever going to satisfy me. And it doesn't matter which scenario I'm in, how much money, how many cars, how many houses, how many lovers, I'm just never going to be enough, because this force is not only giving me the desire, but it's also stealing my fulfillment of it, that I have to become conscious of this process. And this is the entire path of realization. In fact, realization simply means, or self-realization, means realizing yourself, realizing what's happening within you very clearly. And when most people go on a path of realization, they think, well, I have to meditate, and I've got to say prayers and chants, and I've got to do certain hatha yoga exercises, or I have to go and, you know, do some devotional services. What they're really missing is the core underlying process of understanding yourself, which is, where is the desire coming from, and how and why is it not being fulfilled when you believe it is? And that process is very specific. There is a step-by-step way of discovering that. And we have that in our curriculum. We actually teach that step-by-step. And that process is to understand there are stages to it. There are degrees of consciousness. What are we talking about here? We're talking about your ability to have consciousness towards something you don't know. So right now, as I just described to you, before many people who will hear this podcast will say, well, I never really knew that I was just a worker bee for some other force driving me through desire. And now that's become realized in my understanding. So now I realize that desire pops up. I don't know why. I go chase to fill it. It gets robbed from me. I rinse and repeat and go on and on and on and on like this. Just that's a revelation. Now, as we begin the path in a certain order, we become more revelatory to deeper sets of this, deeper degrees or dimensions of this, until we get to the place where I realize now that I don't fulfill the desire, and that the desire is generated somewhere within by me, and I'm not catching it. It's happening unconsciously. When I get to that level, then boom, there's a realization. And guess what happens at that point? We no longer have a space between desiring and fulfilling. And that's why stream cannot be talked about. This condition of the spiritual space can't be talked about. Because when we get there, it's sort of like somebody said to me yesterday, there's no way to describe it except to say that it's a desire that's fulfilled in the same moment, ongoing forever. And it's the most incredible feeling in the world, because there may still be a desiring, but there's also a perfect fulfilling continually going on. And so the process and experience of the practitioner at that point is crystal clear. And now there isn't a neediness, there's not a lacking, there's no egoic kind of intention and cleverness. The notions and the judgments and analysis have all fallen away. And there's just this perfected writing moment by moment. And that's the state that can be had by every single human being if they understand the process.
Wow. One of the things I remember when I was seeing patients is a lot of times I would have a patient come into me and they were having an acute crisis, whether it was their child had died or they just lost their job, or maybe they just had a heart attack, or I just had sent them to the hospital for, you know, something. And they came to me and they were so overwhelmed by the emotion, and they're like, it's taking over my whole body. It's doing this, it's doing that. And, you know, in order to catch them to be present, one of the things that I would say to them is, you can have emotions, but you are not your emotion. It is actually something different than who you intrinsically are. And it was always fascinating to watch the light bulb come on and someone say, wait a second, so I am not this anger that I'm experiencing. I can't separate from it. But once you gave them, it's like all of a sudden you're at what I would say, it's like you're on the fifth floor of a building. And if you finally, if someone takes you up to the penthouse, to the cushy suite, you get to see so much farther. So once you are have someone let you know that there's another way of seeing, it's like, wait a second, why didn't I know that this was possible? Why didn't anyone share this with me? Why doesn't society allow us to know that there are options here? Why do we have to have everything controlled for us?
And that's a really deep question, because that goes back to how our parents raised us, our society influenced us, our government manages us. You would think that if you had this information, you'd want it to get to every child in the world so they wouldn't suffer at all. They would just be able to understand themselves, understand their desire, and live in a much more peaceful, inclusive environment. It seems, for whatever reason, we'll leave the philosophy out of it, at least on my side, but it seems that generation over generation for many, many, many millennia here, we have gone backwards. We've actually taken away, burned, destroyed, and removed more knowledgeable information about ourselves in lieu of being productive cogs in the system that is the world that we see today. And why is that? There's a lot of reasons, you know, I could go into why I believe that is. But more importantly, we know what the problem is now. And as far as I'm concerned, the issue is now, how do we get enough people to understand this isn't a big deal? It's just a matter of understanding some things that we maybe missed. Like you just said, you're not your emotions. Your emotions come and go and you stay static. So how can that be really you? You can have an emotional experience, but it doesn't define who you are. The same thing happens for desire and fulfillment. The desire comes up. The problem is we just don't understand why. So when we're in a practice or we're on a path or journey of evolution, what we really should be saying is, I want to know where I am during that process. Because if I'm not doing it, it means some other force is. That's a whole other question. But if I am doing it, I'm doing it in a completely unconscious way. I need to wake up to that. If I wake up to it, then I can control it. I can govern it. If I can govern it, then the problem's solved. Otherwise, I'm sitting underneath it forever, doing the same thing again and again, expecting a different result. And that's the definition of insanity.
So is this desiring for something that we generate ourselves, or is it something that comes from someplace else?
That's the most important question, because we don't really know. And I'd give you a good example. If I asked you, generate a desire, you can't. I mean, without having a fulfillment first, like, okay, let me think of cake and then I'll desire cake, or let me think of music, then I'll desire music. On its own, just the desire, it's impossible. And that's because there's no relationship, honestly, between you and that process. It happens to you every moment of every day, yet you have no conscious relationship to it. That's alarming. And so that place right there is the place we need to start fishing. We've got to look at. And there are very, very specific ways of doing this. In our particular teachings, we go through the elemental steps, the elemental dimensions, and we actually backtrack through and find out, where am I losing my consciousness in my own process so that I can specifically point to that and wake up to it. And that has to be done.
You know, just thinking about when you said there's no relationship with the process, I immediately reflect to people who have, and this is just really what popped in my head, binge eating disorders, or they have an addiction, whether it's sex, drugs, money, alcohol, power, whatever. But it's like all of a sudden they are overtaken by something. And the process by which counselors and psychologists and therapists, coaches, you know, people like me in medicine, one of the things that we do is try and get them to literally interrupt the process, stop and pause. If it's a second, 2 seconds, somewhere, to somehow allow something in the consciousness to quote unquote resume control. But it still sounds like that's only baby steps in the terms of the grand scheme of things, and obviously stream entry.
That's exactly right. It's just baby steps. We're not really looking at the big problem. We're looking at trying to temporarily put a Band-Aid on a problem. So you're eating a lot. I want to stop you. Notice that you're eating a lot. I want you to stop before you eat. Take a moment. Recognize that you're doing something you really don't want to do. Try to be more conscious in that moment and then not eat the donut. And the problem is that's not getting to the root of the problem. The desire and the lack is already there. It's already been created and it's going to be filled by something else. And if it's not filled by that donut, and even if they coerce themselves, I won't eat the donut, they're going to end up miserable. They're going to find some other way to satiate that desire. So we have to go back further. No offense to therapists. God bless them. They're trying their best to do everything they can with the tools they have. And neurologists are trying to figure out the brain better. It's just the core problem is desiring itself. Since we have no relationship with it, it's going to continue to haunt us. And the moment that lack is there, it's already done. The problem starts. It could be any other thing out there in the Trinity. You've got the awareness, you've got the knower, the knowing, and the known. As soon as there's a knowing process happening, as soon as there's a desire happening, I've got to fill it. Now, I might be able to coerce myself. Oh, I don't want to use the drugs. I don't want to use the drugs because I'm going to hurt people, because I'm going to hurt others. But I'm still aching. So it doesn't help me by saying, hey, good for you, Tommy. You didn't use the drugs. You made the right choice. But Tommy's not healed. He's just coercing himself now. He's pointing the desire at something else. And eventually he's going to snap. So the point is we've got to go back farther. We have to understand the desire process itself. And this is not that hard to do, but it does take some corrections within. It does take some wakefulness. And this has to be done with somebody who's done it and thoroughly understands it. Because we see we have therapists and doctors and, PhDs, and we've got neurologists and all kinds of people that are very well intellectually charged, and they still have no answers for this. You have to go to somebody who has already been through this process and gone through it from A to Z and says, I know this, and this is why you're having these problems, and this is where you're missing the gap. And over time, as you go through this process, they lead you to a place where you're saying, oh my God, I just realized that desire and fulfillment are not really separate, and I'm being duped into believing they are. And that's really where the cure comes.
So in a sense, the kind of traditional community who is treating different conditions like this, they're really just lopping off the weed or the tree or whatever on the ground level. But in terms of what you're explaining, it's really unearthing the roots, digging them out, getting all the tiny little filaments that go further. And that process happens in the step-by-step way that Drew Kama outlines. So would you be able to give just a little teaser on what might be the first thing a beginner would experience about uncovering that desire, or just perhaps being more aware of it?
Sure. Just as an example, and of course, this is a long process in some cases. It may take years because it depends on the practitioner's quantity and quality of effort. Some people jump in and they go right after it, and they're going to end up revealing a bunch of things about themselves at one time. And it's a very profound kind of experience that explodes on them. And others are going to dabble a little bit at a time. So you can't really use time frame here. But what's most important is when somebody comes initially to the program, you want them to understand, let's really look at the problem in an honest way. Let's not look at the problem, well, I use drugs. That's not, using drugs is not a problem. Well, I'm addicted to sex. No, you're not. That's not the problem. It's food, it's music, it's money, it's power. No, none of these things are the problem. Those are just the ways you fulfill the problem. The problem is that you desire things and you don't know why. And not only that, but when you get the fulfillment of the desire, it doesn't stick. The moment you get it, it's not enough, and you've got to go get more. So the problem is not the outside things. It's not the fulfillment side. It's the desire craving side. And to get to that, we have to move through what I call the water level. So we go through the earthy level, which is the basic foundation of the process to learn about things and understand terminology and start to wake up to our process. And then we go into the watery level, where we start to look at the fulfillment of desire and really know it, because we have to know that very well. A lot of people do not know what fulfillment of desire means. So we go through and really analyze that, whether it's in the dream state, the waking state, or in a meditative program. Once we get to the fulfillment side and we really have an intimate connection with the actual fulfilling, what it feels like, how many times you need it, why you need it, where it's coming from, all these kinds of questions get answered. Only then do we start to bridge over into the big portion, which is the desiring side. And at that point, we begin to reveal what a lot of older traditions call the spiritual dimension. And why is it spiritual? Well, because the natural state of a human being is completely at rest, clear, and radiant. A natural state of a human being is just open, and they have no investments and no cleverness to their egoic thought stream. They're done with those things, have dropped away. Why? Because there isn't an inherent underlying lacking anymore. So because this needing isn't there, they feel full. And when someone feels full, they're very patient and kind and considerate and loving and compassionate, and all these things start to radiate out from them. So the problem is right there, getting from the earth to the water to the fire and breaking through that quote unquote spiritual dimension that allows us to be kind of perfected. And that word's weird because it's bigger than a word. It just means that I'm radiantly clear. I'm understanding myself and I'm understanding others. And that's really important right now in our world for people to get to that place so that they're not out there screaming, shouting, holding signs and yelling at each other and not listening and all these things that are just going to relate with more and more and more worldwide suffering and more worldwide division. So we start with earth, introduce the path, go into the real work of water, and then eventually get to the work of fire where we break through into that spiritual connection. And from there, healing has already happened, and it just goes bigger and bigger and bigger from that point forward. It's sort of like sliding down the back of the mountain. Now it's just a sled ride.
When you say you go from the earthy level to the watery level to the fiery level, would you explain what the earthy level is and what the watery level is?
Sure. Yeah. So we are using this nomenclature just because we're trying to get the same English words to relate with different levels of perception. So earth is essentially the physiological process, and it has its five subdomains. And we explain all of this through the curriculum. But basically, my physiological body, my bones, my blood, my organs, my nervous system, my brain, and so on. And we get to understand that part of us first. We have to understand that, okay, there's a vessel, there's a vehicle, there's a machine here that we're residing within. It isn't us. It isn't us. It doesn't have to be us. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. But the fact is that we get really clear about that point. From there, we go up into the emotions and fulfillment. We actually go into, okay, now that we understand physiological process, the way you feel your nervous system, the way you process your organs, your blood, your bone, your marrow, and all of this, and there's some other intimate things we do there. We go into the next elemental field, which is water, and we explore what is emotional fulfillment. What is it when you want something and you get it and you're either happy or sad? Because there's usually two sides to this. So I wanted pizza. Oh, God, I had to have it. I went to the pizza parlor. I took a bite and two things happened. Either I was really happy. I got my pizza. It was warm, hot, cheesy, and wonderful. Or yuck, it's cold and I didn't want this pizza anyway. I made a mistake. But either way, the desire has brought me to that place. So we get to understand those emotional kind of conscious levels where most people reside unconsciously. So most of the world is in an unconscious emotional perception. So I'm angry and it must be valid, or I'm going to react on my emotions this way or that way or the other, or I'm in love and now I'm swooned and emotions are driving them. But they don't realize that emotions are simply one end of the spectrum of desire fulfillment. So we go through the water element to understand the fulfilling side really well. And then we move up into that fire side, which is really where desire is generated. That's where a lot of aha moments, not that they don't occur in the others, they do, but this is where the really big aha moments come, where we realize that I'm chasing things without knowing why. And now I know what it feels like to get them. And I understand that really intimately, but now I'm really kind of looking at and investigating the why in the world am I chasing in the first place? And where does that come from? And why do I have no connection to it at all? And that is the big bang of everything. And there is an air and space level above that. And of course, that's all woo-woo and gets into spirituality in a very deep way. But we have to cross this line first. And the line comes from when we bring the water and fire back together where they belong. And we're shown our essential nature, which is I've never lacked anything ever. I may have been hungry, but I certainly didn't lack anything. And that becomes that filling of stream entry that's so palpable and powerful that, you know, we've had several people in the last couple of weeks talk about it that really can't say words about it. They just say it's such a beautiful, unbelievable state of being. And that's the first partition we had to break through before we move into the fun stuff that happens after.
Thank you for explaining that. All right, do you have any final thoughts about this topic before we wrap up?
Just to say that if you really think about this just a little bit, you'll realize very quickly that you really have been led completely unconsciously. And this is okay, because every one of us have for most of your life and been duped. You've been given a desire. You've chased out to get something for it. The moment you get it, you get your reward. It's been stolen. And then that reward is emptiness again. And you hunt and you get a fulfillment. You feel it and it's gone. And this happens over and over. And you just haven't woken up to that. Or maybe you have. But the point is that the remedy to it is vital. So to understand, okay, I understand that's a problem. Now I need to fix it. The fixing it is most important. Please, if it's not with us, find somebody who understands this very clearly. Go to them and get help and find your freedom. Because living in a world like that, where you're enslaved by things you don't know, is a terrible place to live. And I hate to think about any human being living there.
Thank you, Daishi. What can you share about the website right now?
Oh, we have a fantastic supplement shop open that has all natural alchemical products that help physiologically, energetically, really help push on the path. Those we're excited about. That shop is either opened right now or it will be opened in the next 24 or 48 hours, hopefully. The curriculum is being launched as we speak, finally. We've been talking about that for a long time. That's really important. That walks you step by step through this entire process we've been talking about. We have a new bunch of interviews that are coming out. In fact, I'm doing another one next week where we actually sit down anonymously with practitioners and grill them about their process and where they've made mistakes and learn a lot about how the practitioner looks at the path and what they go through. And those are fun. I love that. And we have a couple other surprises coming up over the next 30 to 60 days. So the site now is at the point where we're actually launching and we're actually getting to the place where people can come in, register, and get really active really quickly.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Daishi, for joining me. And I hope everyone at home got as much out of our conversation as I did. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please email us at radio@truecomma.com. And as always, you can find us in the usual places on social media. Just search for True Comma Teachings. Today's show transcript is also available on truecomma.com. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and we look forward to having you again next time.